My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach the gospel and invite people to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH and our last message on great people of the Old Testament. We pray today's service about David, great sinner, great saint, will be of help to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and God has brought us on our way. One of these weeks, the trumpet's going to sound, and his time will be no more. But until that happens, we'll just keep preaching the wonderful Word of God and worshiping with our people all over the world. And today, I know you're going to enjoy the sermon. It's a sermon about King David, greatest sinner and greatest saint. But before we do that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many wonderful letters, and I just thank you so much. And I just want to share some of them with you. Then you'll know where some of the people are, and you'll know what to pray for. The first one is from Gardner, Maine, and this comes from a man in prison. Dear brethren in Christ, he says, it's a blessing to be a part of the ministry that works so hard to bring the gospel to people who are being denied the truth. My life was changed more than 40 years ago when I was able to hear about salvation while sitting in a prison cell. At present, I'm still in a prison cell. It began in 1974 and continues today to be where God has used me to do his work. Please pray God will always use me no matter where I am, in Jesus' name. Now, that's a beautiful letter. And here's a man, he's been in prison now 40 years, and he's saying, use me where I'm in wherever I am. And Paul was in prison, and he witnessed to the prisoners. And this dear brother, we need to pray for him, because he's in among those people. They'll listen to him. And if he has the joy of the Lord, he can share it with others and help them to come to know Jesus. We just thank God for these men and women. We get from women, too, who know the Lord. And they're incarcerated, and they're witnessing for Jesus. Here is Olivet in good old South Dakota. The old world is getting worse every day, and there's no peace in this world, but Jesus gives us his peace. God gives us strength and healing. You and your staff are our prayers in our prayers every day. May God bless you all. Love in Jesus' name, your old cowboy friend. I got three cowboys that write in, and I'm a sheep herder, you know. And when sheep herders and cowboys love each other and support each other, you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed us, and we're all of us, the children of God through Jesus Christ. Cowboys or sheep herders or renegades or whatever you want. Here is Westbrook, Minnesota. We started watching you way back in Indiana 20 years ago. We moved here 18 years ago, that is, to Westbrook. And I guess we're neighbors now. I hope to come to visit you, good Lord willing. Hope you can send us the new song. We'd like to use it in our Bible study. My brother and I, he pastored churches in Denver for years. Four square churches, that is. And then she says, I was just an old Gandhi dancer. And I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's something good. And then she says, keep up the good work. We really enjoy you. And know the good Lord does too. God bless you all. And now they're talking about the new song. And the new song is a publication we put out every month. And it's a little Bible study. And then it's a little paper also, and it has excerpts of letters that people have written. It has the sermon topics and the titles. It is a wonderful little paper. And we really ought to charge for it. It's just, we should have subscription prices on it. But we are so good-hearted on the Christian Worship Hour, we send it free and postpaid. So you get your pencil and paper ready, and at the end of the service, I'll give you the address. And then maybe you'll send us a gift to help us, and then you can write in and get the new song, and we'll just be glad to send it out. Kalamazoo, Michigan, one more I want to share. I'm a shut-in and appreciate your program, the literature too. And now this is a lady that's written, and her daughter has committed suicide. And we have a little book that we send out. If you write in, we've sent it free and postpaid. If you can send a gift, it's about 14 pages. If a Christian commits suicide, can he or she go to heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. And we have scripture to back it up. So that's what she's talking about here. She's writing now. I'm a shut-in, and I appreciate every program and the literature too. The suicide book helped me. My daughter has been gone 9 months now. She was a born-again Christian. I knew she went to heaven, but some people don't think so. Now I have your biblical help. Thank you. I'm pleased to be your sister in Christ. I just thrilled about that. And, you know, I'm going to give you the address right now because you might forget and I might forget. And so if you want to write to us and you want this little booklet on suicide, you want the new song, or maybe you want a little booklet on salvation, you can't lose your salvation, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Love to hear from you. And then we'll talk about that when we come to the end of the service. So today we're going to be looking at David. David, one of the great giants of the Old Testament, was this man David. And entire books have been written about him. He stands head and shoulders above the shoulder of the leaders of his day or any day as far as that goes. The sad thing about David is that the world, at least to the world, he's known only as an adulterer and a murderer. But that is the way of the world. They'll always think of the worst about you. They're always glad to pass along some dirt or whatever they might find. They're always looking for the dark side. And so they talk about David. But God tells us something about him. You know what God says about him? He says that David is a man after my own heart. David, a man after my own heart. And you know something else? He never said that about any other person in all the Bible. Of course, Jesus, of course, was after his heart. He was his heart. But David here, a man after God's own heart. And that doesn't mean that God condoned or overlooked David's sin. As a matter of fact, God punished him for his sin. But the Bible tells us that in his heart, David was a man wanting to please God. You see, the world looks at the outside of us. They just see what's on the outside. God looks at the heart. And David did something on the outside that was terribly bad. But God forgave him because David repented and he washed him clean in the blood of the Lamb. And God knew that David's heart was a different kind of a heart. It was for God. It simply means that there's no man that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you and take away your sin. That's what happened with David. David's name in Hebrew means beloved. And that probably means beloved of Jehovah. He was born in Bethlehem. He was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. He was of the tribe of Judah. His father's name was Jesse, and he had seven brothers, of which he was the youngest. And he's just known all over so much as the son of David. As a matter of fact, even Jesus, when he was here, referred to him as a descendant, a part on the human side, as the seed of David or the son of David. And so he tells us that even in the book of Revelation, we're still talking about that. Revelation 22, verse 16, where it says, I am of the root and the offspring of David. Now, David was a handsome young man, and it says he was ruddy-faced. That is, he might have had red hair. I like to think that he had red hair and a red beard, but we'll find out when we get to heaven. But the point is that he was a young man of outstanding appearance. And he just caught your eye. He stood out from all the rest. David was a shepherd for his father during his boyhood. And he was musically gifted. And he played the harp with perfection. And he was a great singer. As a matter of fact, they called him the sweet singer of Israel. So he had a lot of things going for him. And besides that, he was a very brave young man. He was a courageous young man. He was a shepherd boy, and as a shepherd, he killed a lion and a bear in defense of his flock. And while still a shepherd boy, the great Samuel, Prophet Samuel, comes, and he anoints this young boy just coming in from the fold from his sheep, and he anoints him. He says, you're going to be the king of Israel someday. Wonderful. God bless it. We read about it. Then David goes back and he cares for his sheep and watches with them. Now, King Saul is the king at this time, And King Saul openly defied God. And he wouldn't listen to God. And if anything God doesn't hate, he hates sin, but he hates the sin of disobedience. And Saul refused to listen to God and obey God. And so we're told that God withdrew his Holy Spirit from him. Now, I want to tell you quickly, God never takes the Holy Spirit from the day from a Christian. From the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was given, all those who have the Holy Spirit, that Spirit will never leave them forever and ever. But with Saul, it was different. And as a consequence of the Holy Spirit leaving him, Saul becomes jealous, and he comes to hell filled with hatred, and he has dark spots in his life, melancholy, and he has a hard time of it. And so they call David in, and David sings for him and brings some peace to his soul, peace to his heart. And so this David becomes stronger in Israel. And then he has the encounter, David has the encounter with Goliath, where he waltzes and single-handed with the help of God, strikes down the Goliath, puts him to death in just one fell sweep. And there we see, after that, everybody talks about David and how wonderful he is and how wonderful he is, how powerful he is. And people are looking to him and practically worshiping him. And then they come to the place, and all of Israel, they're singing about David, how great he is. You know what they were singing? Well, this is what they're singing. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, Saul about went crazy when he heard that. He was so jealous, and he decided he was going to kill David if that's the last thing he did. And this time, Jonathan comes into the picture. And you have this wonderful relationship with David and Jonathan. And Jonathan helps him. And David then has to become a fugitive because the king is going to kill him. And even one time, David went and lived among the Philistines to get away from the king so the king wouldn't take his life. But eventually, King Saul dies. He dies from his own hand in a battle on Mount Gilboa. And as soon as Saul is dead, then David comes to Hebron in the hill country of Judah, some 19 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And he comes to this here, and they make him the king over that one tribe. For 7.5 years, he's at Hebron, and he's the king of one tribe. And so in this place, then after a while, after 7.5 years, they say, he needs to be the king of all Israel. And they took him to Jerusalem, and he reigned as the king of all of Israel. Wonderful story. David led his men into battle, and he made this country so it was very strong. And one thing he did, he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And David wanted to build a temple. You remember the story. He wants to build this temple. And God says, no, you can't do it, David. You're a man of war. You're a man of blood. Because David had had all of these victories over the surrounding people, like the Philistines and the Moabites and the Armenians and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Amalekites. And who, God only knows, maybe he got the termites. I don't know. But he beat everybody in sight. And he was a great and a powerful king. And it was good for Israel. And so he becomes then, about this time, he becomes this greatest sinner. He has this great sin with Bathsheba. And she's married to a man named Uriah. And David sends Uriah into battle. And he says when you get in, he told his generals, when Uriah put him on the front lines, and when the battle gets hot, you pull back and leave him alone. And I want him to be killed. And that's exactly what happened. It was a terrible spot on David's life. But David was a man, he turned to God and he asked for forgiveness and he repented of his sins and God forgave him. And so then he ruled, greatest sinner, greatest saint. He dies at the age of 70 and he's buried in the city of David. So there we have the story, greatest sinner, greatest saint. Now, what do we take from this story? What is this telling us? What is David telling us? First of all, he's teaching us disobedience carries a very high price tag. This can be seen in David's life. In his sin with Bathsheba, he was disobedient to God's command. That sin has followed him now for almost 3,000 years. They love to talk about it. Every unbeliever and every pagan gloats over that sin. And only after we enter the portals of heaven will that sin be forgotten and put away. David was forgiven for his sin because he was repentant, and yet God dealt with him. And so it is with us today, after repenting for our sins. He never turned back into that sin again. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask him to forgive us and take away our sins, and you say, well, I don't have sins like that. Maybe you're saying, I do have sins like that. I've committed adultery. I've committed murder in my heart by hating people. And I've sinned against light. And you need to come to Jesus because God says that he will take away all of your sins. And then you'll wash them away and make you clean and make you pure. And he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so that's what we can do. We come to God and we ask God for that forgiveness. And then the Holy Spirit, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, as I mentioned just a minute ago, with Saul, the King Saul, when he committed that sin, disobeyed God, wouldn't God? God told him what to do and he wouldn't do it and he lied about it. God's Spirit took his spirit away from him. Now, God never takes his spirit away from a Christian. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're born again. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We become a child of God. We become a part of the body of Christ. That all happens when we accept Jesus. And another thing, when we accept Jesus, he seals us with the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures tell us that the Spirit will be with us forever. He will never leave us. And so in this new dispensation after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has a total different ministry. And those who accept Christ are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we belong to God. And if we sin and we fail God, we are still his child. So when we sin, we ask forgiveness. So we don't have that fellowship. We don't break fellowship. But we never lose our salvation, that wonderful Savior. So this is what David prayed. He prayed and he asked God to forgive him. And in that prayer, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And so when you are saved, when God saves us, you can never lose that salvation, but you can lose that fellowship. Because if we sin, then we ask Jesus to forgive us. And 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you have a little tiff with your husband or with your wife or with a friend, and your fellowship is broken, and you confess that and tell him you're sorry, and the fellowship is restored. But your marriage is still, your marriage is there, see. So David talks about us and he tells us it's a call. Disobedience to God carries a high price. And then secondly, he's teaching us faith can conquer any obstacle. David was out caring for his father's sheep. Here comes a lion. Here comes a bear. They're going to destroy the flock. And David, by his bare hands and God, tears apart the lion and the bear and destroys them and saves the flock. The encounter made David so that he had so much faith in God that he wasn't afraid of lions or bears or anything else. And so there was an occasion when he went to the army. They're having a battle with the Philistines. He has three brothers in the army and they send him take him some food to their brothers. And when he gets there, he sees Goliath, and Goliath is standing there. He's as big as a house and just scaring the liver out of the people. And he's cursing God and laughing at God. And he's saying that he's not afraid. The giant of Gath is there, Goliath. And David looks at him and he can't understand. Why doesn't somebody go and fight him? King Saul is there at the front of the battle here. And here's this young lad now. He's a young man now. And he can't understand why you don't fight this giant. And everybody's afraid. And they said, David says, I'll fight him alone. And they said, you, that is the craziest thing you ever saw. Get this kid out of here. Send him back home. This is what David says. When I am taking care of my father's sheep, he said, and a lion and a bear comes and grabs a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and take the lamb from its mouth, and if it turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. He says, I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this heathen Philistine too, for he has defied the living God of Israel, the Lord who saved me. Listen, the Lord who saved me from the claws and teeth of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. Samuel 17, 34, verse 34. So David remembered how God had saved him at different times, helped him with the lion and the bear. And that's what we have to do. Just remember these things when God helps us. And so David goes out alone. He faces Goliath. Goliath is almost 10 feet tall. And he has a coat of armor that weighs almost twice as much as David. He has a coat of armor that weighs 200 pounds. It's an impossible task for this boy to handle this giant. But David goes, this little shepherd boy, David, had God Almighty on his side. And when you have God, it doesn't matter how much the other team has. You'll be the winner every time. David drops the giant with one small stone and then jumps on him and cuts off his head. And if David was here preaching today, I'm sure he would tell us something about faith that conquers. Faith can be strong. It can bring faith. David's faith was strong. He could move mountains. He could kill giants. And I'm going to tell you, there's giants for us to face today. There's the giants of fear of old age. Some people are afraid of getting old. What am I going to do when I get old? Well, I'm old and I'm just doing fine. I'm happy in the Lord. David would cry, have faith in God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And David would say, he would tell us, you just stay there because learn to wait on God. Just learn to put things in God's hands and you just obey him and you'll have the victory every time. After his anointing, look at how David had to wait. He was anointed as a little boy, a young boy with his sheep. He had to wait years and years before he could be a king. And he had to fight for his life and look for his life. And then he had to spend 7.5 years in Hebron before he could go to Jerusalem. He had to learn to wait on the Lord because God would bring it in his own time. He'll bring it to pass. And if David was here today, he would tell us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In due time, God will bring it to pass just as he has promised. He'll always keep his word. Say to every Christian, wait on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. John Stallings has a beautiful chorus. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching, I'm learning to lean. We thank God for the great David because he was leaning on God and he was trusting on God and God brought him through and he had the victory. And so will you and so will I. I'm not saying that he'll take you out of your troubles and trials because next weekend, I'm going to preach about the troubles and trials that we have. And now we're not always taken out of them, but he helps us. He was with us like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There were three, and all of a sudden there was four. The Son of God in his pre-incarnate form was with those children, and he's with you no matter what your troubles and trials might be. So we see David, great king of Israel, greatest king that Israel ever had, greatest sinner, greatest saint. And you can have the same thing. I don't know if you have great sins or little sins, but I know this. If you have one speck of sin, if you took one little green apple, if you told what they call a little white lie, which is just black as sin, it's a little white lie, they say. If you have one speck of sin, you can never enter heaven. You have to be perfect to enter heaven. And you say, how can I be perfect? Let me tell you how. You come to Jesus and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and cleanse you from all of your sins. See, Jesus says, as many as received me to him, to them gave you power to become the children of God. He says that I stand at your door and knock, and you ask him to come in and he'll cleanse you from all your sins. And then he clothes us in his righteousness. And when we stand at heaven's gate, well, they won't see any of our sins. They're washed away and they'll see the righteousness of Christ. How do you have that? Just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to please come into my heart and save me from my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can. You say that prayer and Jesus Christ will come in at the minute you say. He says in John 5:24, behold, I stand. He tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath right now everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, won't go into hell, pass from death unto life. You can have life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. You can help us with a gift. Do that, and we'll be sure to write back. So now, dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We think always of our persecuted church, Lord, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in India, many of them dying, many of them scattered abroad, little children without parents, oh my God. And so we just pray that you'll watch and help them and give them strength and guidance. We pray for those who are shut in, Lord, and those who are aged and can't get out, but they are worshiping with us. They're part of our church. We're all together around the throne of God. We pray for them. We pray for that you'll give them healing and strength if it is your will. Maybe it isn't. It isn't always your will to do that. And so help them to know that you are there and that you care and that you'll never leave them or forsake them. We just pray that in all these things you'll have your will done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. So God bless you now. Be sure to write to us. And those of you on the shortwave, we hope to hear from you. And remember, we need to have your gifts. You got to help us if you want this to continue. You have to send us a gift. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So until next week, we're praying God's blessing upon you. And remember that God loves you. Remember the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're having these services, to remind you of the promise of God, to preach the word of God, to give you hope and comfort. Yes, somebody does care for you. A lot of people care for you. And when we get to heaven, won't we have a time talking about it? And there'll be no loneliness there. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.